Mr. Anderson, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm well. Thank you.
You know, a friend of mine caught me in the hallway the other day here at work, and he says, you know, I was listening. We were doing an interview with one person or another in politics, and he says, have we come to the point now where if you're a Republican, all Democrats are bad and never the twain shall meet? If you're a Democrat, all Republicans are bad and that I'm right and the other person is always wrong? I mean, if we come to that point in Illinois, and that's kind of how we got where we are today?
Absolutely not, in my opinion. I work with people on the other side of the aisle every day. Are we at odds on the high-level issues? Yes, we are. But we work regularly on a lot of projects together in a cooperative manner. And by the way, nobody on the other side is, you know, bad or evil or something like that. These are good people. We just disagree about politics, and we disagree about how to get the state righted. So we are not at that point. And even at the high level stuff, there is a number of people, I would say the great majority of the rank and file, who want a cooperative compromise solution.
And that's where you've been living. You've been trying very hard, and you are, as I mentioned, a Republican and have supported Governor Rauner, but that has not stopped you from making some very overt reaching out to the other side in a very overt way to say, look, we've got to get something done, that you have been one of the linchpins for saying, look, we've got to find the middle ground and move forward here.
That's right. I felt it was important to make those statements. And as you said, I do support the governor. I do support the reforms that he advocates for. I absolutely think those things are critical for moving the state forward. But at the same time, we've got to put pressure on our leadership, that includes everyone, to get to that middle ground. And sometimes the rank and file has to be willing to say that. So a couple of weeks ago, a group of about 33 of us came forward saying, on both sides, both Republicans and Democrats, saying we support a grand bargain. We support the concepts that the Senate has been working on. Now, that doesn't mean the grand bargain. Note, I said a grand bargain, because we knew what they would send us wouldn't necessarily be the final product. But the idea was they've been working since January and getting somewhat close. We wanted to encourage that work and make sure that that got to the House, which, you know, it ultimately did.
I very often see in my mind's eye scales where there's a balance between two things or two opposing parties and which one's going to win. I look at it as a balance. And I on one side of those scales, I see gubernatorial reforms. All right. Anybody who says the state of Illinois has done good business over the last few decades, hasn't been paying attention, doesn't have math, doesn't own a calculator. All right.
Correct.
All right. Now, and so these reforms to make things better. And then on the other side, the status quo, just keep it going, keep a budget while we, you know, continue to drown in red ink. And when I see these scales battling it out, and one of the reasons why I see that is one of the quotes that I saw from you in Chicago Magazine saying, and this is attributed to you, at this sure. point, there's not enough reform to counter the damage we've done to the state in the past 2 years. The admission that the damage has been done and we need to be able to counter it, that one statement I think is incredibly telling, Steve.
It is, and it was important. The point that I'm trying to make there is not that we should abandon reforms, because, by the way, abandoning or caving into one side is not compromise. What I've been talking about this entire time is compromise. But the reality is we have done a huge amount of damage to our state, our social services, our higher ed. Quite frankly, I don't know a lot of businesses that want to come to Illinois in an unstable environment. So the first thing that we need to do is come together, figure out what those compromises can be so that we can get ourselves a balanced budget. To me, the balanced budget is the key portion of this, combined with those reforms, to be able to get this done. Because if we don't have a stable, predictable budget, I don't think business wants to be here.
Now, when it comes to this item, you know, many diplomats and negotiators say you find the area of common ground and then you grow out. You don't start where you hate each other the most and negotiate on that subject. You go where you do have common ground, and then you grow out and you start growing those, because that builds a rapport between the two sides. Is the common ground K-12 legislation, K-12 funding?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's common ground, I think, in the agreement that it's critical. I actually think of it in a very different way right now, which is a backstop, if you will. And the backstop is, if we cannot get the compromise now by the end of June, one of the things I'm going to advocate for, or I have been advocating for publicly, is not doing a stopgap budget that relates to K through 12. In other words, we keep taking the pressure off of the people who have to come to compromise. In other words, myself and 117 others in the House, we keep taking the pressure off by passing stopgap budgets. And I've supported them in the past because I thought it was the right thing to do, because I thought that we were making progress. At this point, 2 years in, 2.5 years in, with no real budget, it's time to keep the pressure on. And so I will be advocating that if we can't have a full budget, I will not support a K through 12 stopgap budget. And the simple reality for your listeners are, if that happens, schools won't open in the fall. In my opinion, then the pressure will really be on the state legislators, because that will affect everyone from the top of the state to the bottom, from the east to the west.
And that will
force a compromise.
The idea being, State Representative Steve Anderson joining us today, that, yeah, this backstop idea, I get that, you know, and I get the whole relieving pressure, so now we can get by on some other things. But we've got this, but we also have hanging over our head executive fiat when it comes to spending in the budget, too. There's another kind of pressure that I think goes underappreciated when it comes to people being in your position.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, you know, the courts are saying you will spend this money on this. You know, that there's, you're going to do it, and you know,
yes,
that kind of,
yes,
takes that,
right,
out of your control, and takes that budget control out too.
Right, the consent decrees and things like that are things that are beyond our control at this point. A lot of our spending is on autopilot, and that's unfortunate. And until we can get the balance of our budget under control, you know, we're going to continue spiraling out of control with our spending. I mean, we are now at, I think, $14 billion worth of unpaid, what I would call regular accounts receivable payments, you know, our 30-day bill backlog, is at $14 billion. It's an insane number. If we're not careful in the next year or two, that could turn into $24 billion, and you're almost talking about the entire state year budget getting close to being a back due payable.
Yeah.
These are unsustainable spending habits. We just can't keep continuing down this road.
No, now I know where I made a mistake. I said executive fiat, not judicial. So sorry, Steve, about that.
Gotcha.
You know, when it comes to this item, because it's interesting you talk about back bills, a friend of mine does business with the state of Illinois, owed just a little short of $1 million, and 2 weeks ago we got a check for $76.
Great. Congratulations.
Right. You know, I mean, because we have reached, and I'm not sure what the word, I've been searching for this word since last Friday when I was speaking with the governor on the air, because you alluded to this, year one, yeah, year two, now we're year three, the stakes are higher, the overall cost, S&P bond ratings have gotten higher, the nature of Northeastern, I think, saying we're cutting 180 people, SIU announcing the cuts there too, they're not the only ones, that we're reaching a more, gee whiz, I hate to use the word desperate, but I think it's accurate.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, people talk about that we're in crisis. I think we're beyond crisis. We are at the point where I honestly, if we don't get a budget, if we don't force a budget, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know how the state continues to survive, and I don't know what the option is if we choose that path. That's why I'm taking this stand about K through 12, that I will actively fight against funding that on both sides, because we have to force a compromise. We have to. It's no longer an option. I want reforms, and I want all the things that the governor wants, but I also need compromise on this whole deal. It's the only way to get this done.
You know, the magnitude of the math is one right there that I think many people don't appreciate, just how large $14.3 billion is, just how large our pension liability is, just how large our debt, how much money our debt costs us. Well, the S&P bond rating, you know, one said above junk, you know, people don't want to be part of it. Illinois has become Puerto Rico.
Actually, believe it or not, we actually voted for a resolution in the House. Bit of a waste of a time, but it only took a moment to vote to support the idea of Puerto Rico becoming the 51st state in hopes that for once we wouldn't be the 50th ranked state in everything,
yeah.
Believe it or not.
No, I actually read something that's last week and people saying, hey, you know, maybe we should buy bonds in Puerto Rico now. it's one of those things. Steve, what's next? Saying no or saying yes?
Well, we've got to get to yes. We've got to get to yes. And so I continue to work every day. I'm going to be talking with legislators this afternoon. I'm going to be talking with key people tomorrow to get us to yes. And from beginning to end, the idea here is both sides need to come to the middle. One side can't cave. If the Democrats are going to expect the Republicans to just go, up, we throw up our hands, no reforms, they're mistaken. But I also think that we have to be prepared to deal till it hurts.
I like the old history, England, Rome, always enjoyed that because I think there's a lot for us to learn about the mistakes they made. Mm-hmm. And I very often think about, because you got me thinking about this earlier in the interview, you said, note that I said a grand bargain, not the grand bargain, because right. What the grand bargain represents to me downstate is like King Richard saying, we're going to tax the peasants more. You go to counties that have some of the highest poverty ratings in the entire state, and they say, we're going to raise your taxes. And for some reason, in the whole background, forgetting that this country was born in tax revolt. See, there's, and I'm not saying we'll rise up, you know, and lynch them and let them eat cake and all that, right? But in a microcosm, when you say, look, we've mismanaged so things so badly, we're going to need money from the poorest people that we can get, and it's going to be a lot. So line up. That aspect of the solution really does bother me. I don't question the necessity of it. I don't. But the ethics of it, I most certainly do.
No, I certainly understand that, and that's the result of decades of mismanagement. This did not come about in the last 2 years. Have good things happened in the last year? Some, but there's been a lot of damage done, like I've said earlier, in the state in the last 2 years. But we were not put in this situation in the last 2 years. This is decades worth of unbalanced budgets that we now have to contend with. And that's the simple reality, is we're trying to fix something that is endemic to years upon years upon years of mismanagement. And can't keep going.
And the people don't want to do it. Yeah, and people don't want to do it. Self-inflicted wounds. State Representative, a Republican from Geneva, Steve Anderson.